Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge 30-30 Wrap-Up Podcast for Episode 7. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
I'm doing great. Another very exciting episode for this season of the Challenge.
Another oh-so-close complete episode, but just not far enough.
We have a ton of questions about that, but I feel like before we jump ahead, just a thank you to our five-star reviewer this week, Allie Coop 1018. And Brian, I think in a special edition of the corrections department this week, you should maybe field this.
Yeah, apparently we're like the only, maybe just me, is the only person on the planet who didn't know that Gulag was like a Soviet like death camp that was set up for them. But apparently we got a big historian fan base that quickly filled me in on what exactly is a Gulag. So maybe we won't refer to all eliminations as just Gulag. Gauntlets. We use gauntlets. That's a little better, I think.
I'm fine with the Presidio. I will say, I get half credit for at least knowing it was real.
That's where I thought they created the word, so I guess that's on me. But I mean, I've never seen any more, I don't think I've ever gotten as much a response to that. I didn't realize how many people are up on their Russian history. Well, I guess now's a good time to do it. But
I think it was probably our most correction. But I will also say, like, you want to be able to rely on a television show for not using something historical and terrible and offensive as the name of like a, you know, inconsequential elimination on a TV show. So yeah. I don't know what MTV was thinking using that as.
Yeah, as silly me for thinking MTV wouldn't dig deep into a big Russian history for their elimination names. But here we are. But Presidio, I think, is all good. So Presidio is very calm, pleasant.
So we pick up at the Presidio, speaking of Presidio, this episode.
Yeah, so we see the aftermath of Ammo's PTSD trigger, his panic attack, everything with that. They don't really explain exactly what goes on, but it seemed to be taken away by an ambulance.
So yeah, Michelle Dola said, "Was I the only one surprised by the way they glossed over Ammo's departure, the way they made it a cliffhanger, even though we knew the elimination result? And the opening to this episode basically was like Ammo is in the ambulance. We're just moving on without the elimination was bizarre to me."
Yeah, I don't know what ending of challenge episodes this season have been very odd. They could have easily just ended it again 10 seconds later and then just started this episode with the Tori Marie stuff. I don't know why they teased the Ammo stuff if they weren't going to tell us anything about it. They basically teased it the way they started.
It's the same thing, though. Survivor does it within the episode. Like, I watch Survivor, and my grandma and I talk during the commercials on the phone, and I remember with Caleb's, for anyone who doesn't watch, somebody got very seriously, like, medevaced, and they made it seem like he was going to die. And then my grandma called me at the commercial, like, "Oh my God, someone died on Survivor." And I was like, "No, Grandma, I promise they wouldn't show the footage if that's what it was." So it's one of those, like, bullshit cliffhangers where it doesn't really pay off in the end. I will say I liked how they treated the Ammo narrative. Let him make his own video to say, you know, he's doing well, but he's got to take care of his mental health. I like that at least that got some screen time, that it was mental health related, because that is often underreported on these shows. But it wasn't like really a big deal. I think it was treated well.
Were you expecting like a PSA to pop up after his message? They're usually pretty good with that type of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think because they didn't explore it in the episode, like it's more like if somebody talks about it in the episode, or, you know, someone gets hit in the episode. They could have done it. I feel like it was well handled.
That's fair. So then we...
Wait, really quick. Sorry, last thing on Ammo. We got a question about this, but we also got a comment about this on robhasawebsite.com that I said I think Ammo would return, and somebody pointed out, well, I don't think I'm delusional. Someone did point out that potentially Ammo presents a higher risk if he returns, given everything he's going through. Do you think this precludes Ammo from returning? Let's assume they want him to return. Does this preclude him from doing so?
I mean, I guess it wouldn't make him the easiest person to bring back. But I mean, I think if he wanted to, I don't know why they, I don't think this would preclude him. I don't know. I mean, is he really going to, I assume they signed so many things that he can't sue based off any of this stuff. So I think if he wanted to come back, and I think there's a possibility he would be able to.
Yeah, I mean, they've had so many people with so many issues over the years on The Real World, on The Challenge. I don't think that this would be prohibitive if they wanted him back, but it is, it's a thought.
Yeah, it's fair. It's a fair point to bring up, at least.
Definitely.
So now we get a very, very brief women's elimination of Tori treating Marie like a very little younger sister and just finishing her off, bing, bang, boom. And Marie is sent home. Sort of home.
Yeah, Tori is fierce, man. I mean, no surprise, but she's going to be around for the long haul, I think, both in the season and in the challenge.
Yeah, I think, was this a season we did Are You the One together? I think we were both pretty high on Tori going forward as a potential person to jump over to the challenge from that season. And then what she did on Second Chances only added to that. So, yeah, she could be the biggest star from Are You the One that is making the jump.
And she seems to have made the jump socially, too. Like, she's one of the few Are You the One people who's been able to sort of penetrate the challenge, the real world road rules side.
Yeah, I think it also has to do with the fact that she does very well in the challenge. I think if you do well, people will end up respecting that, as opposed to a lot of the other Are You the One people who either suck or quit or just get knocked out early. And then it's like, all right, well, these are the trash Are You the One people. But once you show you can compete and do other stuff, then that label kind of gets forgotten.
So unsurprisingly, Marie had stuff to say on Twitter. She will not go quietly. She said, whoa, whoa, hold up at Challenge MTV. That is not how it went down entirely. Something tells me they cut my elimination short to show more of me losing my mind alone in redemption. Unfortunately for Marie, that didn't pan out because we didn't get a lot of her losing her mind in redemption. And then she said, if any of my MTV Challenge friends want to confirm that that's not how my elimination went down, that would be okay, sign emoji. Where was the body slam? ? I assume she means she body slammed Tori. Otherwise, she wouldn't be calling for more footage.
Right.
And then... just wrapping up, Kayla said, in Marie's defense, she put up a good fight and that elimination was longer than they showed. I know firsthand how muscle emoji she is from Invasion, applause emoji.
I mean, I hope it was longer. It was literally like 25 seconds on TV. So obviously it would be longer. But I mean, even Marie, didn't she have a confessional being like, I just got trounced quickly? So, I mean, in her words, it was a quick elimination where she got slaughtered.
I agree. I thought that was really inconsistent with what she herself is saying on television. Either way, I mean, kudos to her for going into the elimination against Tori, because it's just like a scary when you're like physical with somebody who's much more athletic than you. But yeah, no question was Tori going to win that one. I will say going into the Redemption House kind of pissed me off. And I would love to hear your thoughts on it. But just in general, when Marie is like, oh, what's going on? What's happening? Like, at this point, you know it's the Redemption House if you're getting put in another location because you saw the first half of the people come back in. So I hated Marie's acting dumb, although I'm sure production made her do that. I did love the guest book of advice, though, from the Redemption House past occupants.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. That the fact that she acted any sort of surprise was baffling. And even more so off that, I was surprised we didn't get any type of pushback in the house of people discussing, oh, do you think the Redemption House is a thing? Do you think she's actually home? Or even when they were discussing eliminations, like, do you think, oh, what if this person comes back? The fact that they did it, they showed that they did this once. It's conceivable that they would do this again this season. So the fact that they didn't show anyone discussing it again, I thought it was also very odd.
I agree. Also, like, Jenna and Tony filled out the guest book. So you got to imagine they know, well, we wrote stuff in a book of advice for people. So it's right. Got to be happening again. Well, that was a little
that just being shot into Never Never Land. Like, what did they think was happening with the book?
Yeah. So I think that'll be interesting to see. Are you happy they're doing a second Redemption House or no?
Not really. If they were going to do it, they should have just made the first one longer. Like, they should have said more people in there rather than doing it twice. Because there's still so many people left. And that means we're going to have to spend, I would say, in like 3 or 4 weeks, another episode of just someone coming back. And I mean, are we going to do a third one? Is there going to be a third one right before like the finale? I would say probably yes.
We're at the point where we're starting to trim the fat and the eliminations, especially on the guy side, are going to get juicier. And it's just sort of like when Bananas and Nani returned. Like, I as we get deeper into the episode, I hate a buyback on any show. I was happy at the time when they had it the way they did. I feel like it's less of a consequence of players already in the game. Give someone out early another chance and let's just move on from there. Now, like if somebody had put Bananas in against Corey and Bananas went out, like let's see how the game moves then. Like let's not then put Bananas back 4 weeks from now when he's obviously going to be the one to win. the I was going to call it the battle back, whatever, the Redemption House competition. So I don't know. I'm like a little lukewarm on it happening again. Obviously, it'll be results oriented. We'll see who comes back and if we're happy about it. But for now, I wish it kind of just stopped where it did.
Yeah. I mean, for this, for Challenge, for Survivor, any type of show, I'm never a fan of potentially coming back after you're eliminated. Because it's just for the rest of the season, up until they officially like declare like there's no more battle back or whatever, then it always takes away the big power moment of when someone gets eliminated. It's like, oh, they're eliminated, but not really. So to me, it dampers it. I'm never a fan of these type of things.
I am a fan of, well, maybe not potentially what happened, but the real meat of this episode was something I never imagined we'd be talking about when the episode, you know, when we got the cast release. The drama between Anissa and Veronica, which I will say has to be like the most throwback thing ever to happen on a challenge.
I mean, they're showing clips that are like 10 years old, plus 10 plus years
at
old,
least,
15
yeah.
years old. It's the people watching this, a lot of the core audience probably of the show weren't even alive when they were showing the clips of what was going on. That's how far back these memories are going down.
And we'll get into it with the Twitter stuff, but like this definitely didn't happen on the same day as the retro challenge. But I don't mind at all that they edited this to be a part of this episode, because the whole episode start to finish was just all sorts of nostalgia. And like, I can't believe we're even talking about Anissa and Veronica right now.
Yeah, they almost should have doubled down even further and had them like dress up in like 70s attire to like do the challenge. Just like we need to go super like retro style. Because yeah, the fact that this was like a week earlier or 2 weeks earlier, it didn't really play consequence at all into like the voting or whatever. So I don't really care about the timing of it all. I'm happy that they did it just as you said, with the way they were doing the actual challenge.
So Nick Sabetta says, am I just forgetting about it, or was this the first time they publicly spoke about Veronica and Rachel dating for 3 years? I mean, when Anissa says her ex-girlfriend is my ex-girlfriend, my jaw hit the ground. Then we get the flashback to Battle of the Sexes, which was just so welcomed. And Anissa saying this show has changed was just a nonstop thrill ride for me. Did you know about this?
I don't think so. I feel like I may have. If someone said that they dated, I would be like, oh, yeah, that's right. And then I just would have assumed it was true. I think I heard about it at some point through the grapevine.
It seems like, I mean, major news sources, entertainment news sites have picked this up, that this was like a big reveal. And even you have Veronica saying, like, it's not right for me to talk about Rachel now when I refused to talk about it when we were dating for 3 years. So it seems like Veronica didn't want to go public with her relationship, whether it was for media, whether it was because she didn't want to be out, you know, whatever the reason. And if people knew about this, it was certainly not well known, or just like general public information, the way that news sites have picked this up.
And definitely Corey did not know. Corey didn't know anything of anyone that's ever been on the show.
Corey didn't know why Jemmy took 3 years off. So like, whatever, 3 seasons off.
Yeah, he was definitely be like, oh, wait, what happened?
All right, so what do you think of this whole drama happening between Anissa and Veronica? There's a lot of Twitter stuff to talk about.
So fill me in. I've caught glimpses of it. I like to try to stay Twitter clean so I can have genuine reactions to when you read some stuff. Obviously, I see some, but like, give me the full lowdown as to what happened on between the Twitter drama with them.
All right. So basically, Veronica maintains that, and Anissa now supports that nothing actually sexual happened between them. And that she's like pretty disgusted with MTV for exploiting it, and claims that if this were two men or a man and a woman, that this wouldn't be the case. So here's a couple of reactions. So Veronica tweeted this, and it was retweeted by Anissa. The official challenge Twitter wrote, this is even crazier when you consider that they have the same ex, shock face, and like pictures of it. And Veronica wrote back, hashtag fake news. Your headline should read most shocking challenge hookup storyline ever. Editing and commentating equal magic and ratings. And then she said, but hey, thanks for making my relationship storyline not your business or relevant to this game 13 years later. And then Anissa wrote this really long apology because now it's sort of getting into Nisa looking extremely aggressive and not taking Veronica's no for an answer. So she wrote, "I'm completely mortified by my actions on last night's episode. I had no recollection of the language I used towards at V-Cakes until I saw it. I think the footage was in poor taste and was poorly edited. I was intoxicated, and though it's not an excuse, I know for a fact that the amount of vulgarity used would have never been said if alcohol wasn't involved. I apologize for coming out of my character, and I'm enraged that at MTV and at we've had this debate before, Buna Murray would think that this episode would be positive for the show. Had it been a man and a woman, I doubt it would have aired the same way or even aired at all. Once again, much of this episode was a surprise to me, and I'm more than upset about it." Again, this is Anissa tweeting, not me, that she says, "I will always hold myself accountable for my actions. It just so happens that in this case, I wasn't fully aware of them until last night. I owe an apology to V-Cakes. She is someone who was my friend and took care of me. It's a shame that entertainment comes at the expense of others who are truly decent human beings. That's all for now." And then Veronica wrote, like, "Great, thanks for the apology." And I'm paraphrasing, but like, "Could you please tell people we didn't hook up?" And Anissa wrote, "I meant that V-Cakes and I never hooked up, just in case people want to misinterpret my previous tweet. I respect her as a woman and feel really bad about the whole situation." And Marie said,
Marie chiming in?
Well, listen, it's important that she chimes in because she, in the screen grab of like the black and white episode where they're in the bed episode, part of the episode, There's somebody like sleeping in the corner, and it was Marie. And that's how people know this was edited wrong. Okay. So Marie wrote, "That would be me fake sleeping in the corner. Ob had to stay up and listen. As witness, I can attest nothing went down." And then Veronica said, "They played it out of sequence. Marie was still in the house in bed with kidney stones, which means she was the only sober one. She was the only one sober enough to comment." And then Veronica said, "Clarification, Anissa did not molest me. She was aggressive, too touchy, invaded my space. Yes, more will be said at the reunion. Stay tuned." And unfortunately, I didn't do a Twitter poll, and Megan Elizabeth, I'm trying to look at what her, I forget what we gave her. Digital communications manager.
Social media correspondent or whatever.
Digital communications manager. We didn't get this, but Shane, a lot of the stuff that the challenge tweeted that Veronica called them out for was deleted. And a lot of what Shane tweeted was deleted. Not Shane Reigns, the other Shane. Mm-hmm. So this is like becoming a bigger deal than I realized. Rachel's actually pregnant with her either girlfriend or wife. I'm not sure if they're married, but she is very, very pregnant and has not commented on this that I've seen at this hour.
Wow. Interesting. Couple things. First, I don't know what they mean that if it was a man and a woman, it wouldn't be depicted this way. I mean, this is a classic challenge manipulation to show a hookup that may not have been a hookup. Like, this is what MTV does all the time with couples. So I don't know what that really implied. And it's crazy. I don't think, like, watching the episode, I did not think Anissa owed anyone an apology. I did not, like, read, like, anything, like, vulgar or malicious at all into, like, what may or may not happen.
So, I mean, some would say she said very sexually explicit things to her, and that is vulgar. Depends on sort of your sensibilities.
I guess so, but it didn't like strike me as like, oh my god, I can't believe Anissa went there, and now she like owes everyone an apology. This is like horrific. That's like kind of stunning that it took that turn.
I will say, if this were like Corey and Kayla or like a man in Anissa's shoes, I actually think there would be more of a negative response. And like this, Veronica kind of speaking up and saying that she was uncomfortable with this is opening my eyes to my own sort of biases. Like, I will say, if this would have been more uncomfortable to watch if this were a man saying that to a woman who's sort of saying, no, we're just friends. So I agree that when I was first watching it, I was just like, oh my God, it's Anissa and Veronica. This is crazy. And she used to date Rachel. And now, like, upon further review, I'm like, okay, like, this, I understand why this is upsetting. I will say, though, that in terms of the editing or the treatment of it, I agree with you that this would not be any different if it were a man and a woman or a man and a man. And it's exemplified by when Kayla was acting this way towards Corey. they showed it like that, you know, and I think the portrayal of it would be the same. There maybe the reaction to it would be different. But I don't think that Anissa should have any complaint. I think she's sort of missing the mark here when she's like, I apologize, but I was edited the wrong way. I was drunk. Like, nobody's questioning that you were drunk. It's still a problem, right? So, like, I don't blame MTV for showing this moment, but I think Anissa feeling bad about it and embarrassed is her own issue.
Yeah, I mean, she could be embarrassed, but, and I guess if Veronica interpreted it one way, which I guess is the only way that really matters, then sure, she owes her an apology. It's just amazing that I did not think it would take that turn watching it live or watching the episode or whatever. It's interesting that it went down that way. Interesting.
Yeah, so that was a juicy nugget here, and hopefully we'll hear more about Veronica's opinion or what else went down, because I'm sure we only saw a snippet of it at the reunion. This reunion is going to be a good one.
They say that, but then, like, they're not going to show the parts of it with them trashing MTV's edit, so they can say, like, oh, it's going to go down at the reunion. It may go down, but it's only going to go down between them and, like, the handful of people watching. It's not like MTV's not going to air a part of them completely trashing edits and stuff like that. So it's just a matter of what we actually see of, like, the 5 minutes that they're going to talk about this for 45 minutes. So I know it's like, oh great, the reunion's going to be, like, it's going to be great. I feel like we always kind of think that, and then we're, like, most of the time very disappointed.
That's fair, but you usually have people who go, if they're not you, that do write about it online, so maybe we'll try to do some digging of that. But also, like, Veronica's not blaming the edit for Anissa's actions, right? So, like, Veronica feels that Anissa was aggressive, touchy, and invaded her space. So we'll at least see more of that, potentially. I mean, mm-hmm. I know she's disappointed that the challenge chose to air it. She also, I didn't pull it, but she tweeted something of the effect of, like, we used to get these episodes in advance so we could prepare, like, our people for what was going to be shown, like, and how MTV, like, doesn't DGA at whatever, doesn't give an F about them anymore, and, like, doesn't send the episodes early, which is weird, because I know, like, at least, like, season 1 and 2 of Are You the One got the episodes. So it's weird that they'd give, like, Are You the One the episodes and not Veronica on the challenge.
Or maybe they just stopped doing it.
But like, as recently, Veronica's information is like 10 years old, but I'm saying, like, at least in the last 3 years, they used to.
It also just makes sense to allow these people that probably aren't, like, the brightest, maybe think of a few jokes to tweet while watching the episode as opposed to doing it live. I mean, that's what I would do.
That's what's important here, right?
Yeah. For me, if I had an episode, like, if I could watch, like, the challenge at, like, in the morning, and I could prepare jokes to tweet live during the episode, that's all I would do.
Well, you could do, like, Rupert tweets.
Exactly.
And just be like, wow, what a challenge.
It's another way to go down.
All right, so let's get into the challenge. I think we've said all we can say so far about Veronica and Anissa.
Yeah, so the challenge this week I actually found very entertaining. It was called Ups and Downs, and you had to rank in order by logo all 30 seasons of the challenge. First, you picked your team, 5 teams of 4. Everyone had to pick their own team.
So Randy Neupel says, do you prefer random team draws or them picking their own teams?
I always prefer picking, because there's nothing good can come out of random, but something can come out of people picking. So.
And do you prefer that it be a clusterfuck like it was this episode, where it's just like quick pick 4, or do you wish do you prefer, like, team captains making the thoughtful selections?
I think it's a variety. I think keeping them on their toes is good. I think some aspects it's good when it's a team, like a draft style, and some it's like this. I think keeping them mixing it up is the perfect way to do it.
I liked this, but I think for this challenge, it would have been great because, you know, there was a reason why TJ comes in and says, I'm not going to tell you what the challenge is before you pair up, because the people you think are valuable in this challenge, any challenge, are probably not as valuable as, say, like, Veronica or Anissa. Like, they're like, you mm-hmm. may pick them last. So I almost wish that there was a schoolyard pick for this, because we would have seen Anissa and Veronica picked last, and then the team celebrate when they find out, you know, what the challenge is. So I would have liked that, like, 1 second payoff. But otherwise, I think I agree with you. I like when they make their own teams. I loved Banana's here. I mean, this is just, like, another level of thought that Banana has that the other players don't. Mm-hmm. That Banana's pairs up with Hunter because he's thinking, if I lose, he's still good. You know, he's as good as some of the his own bananas, his own allies. So he's not like taking a hit that's going to hurt him and his chances to lose. But if he's in the draw, they want to be he wants to be standing next to somebody that he's not aligned with, which is exactly what happened. I was very impressed with that. Very quick thinking.
Yeah, I mean, this is the when you do this show for like 45 years, you can start thinking of stuff that other people don't. And this is just another level that he gets to. And it, I mean, obviously it played out perfectly that it went down this way. I don't know if like they win this challenge. I don't know if we even get to see that level of thinking. They may just cut that and put something else in that plays later in the storyline. But I'm glad it worked out that way. So that way we can see exactly his level of thinking.
Well, they have to explain why bananas is with Hunter, right? Either way, because that's such an odd pairing just right off the gate. Why would you think of that?
MTV doesn't have to explain anything. They very rarely fully explain.
Yeah, but one thing interesting, someone pointed this out that like they all had the colored shirts with their names on it. Like, how do you think they actually picked the teams beforehand? Because otherwise, like where or do they have one color of shirt for every single person with their name on it?
That's actually I guess they probably just bring all the colors of all the people and then they just like pass them out after the selections.
Do they have a screen printer standing by where they're just burning, pressing the shirts in?
That's actually probably more likely. They probably have four of each color and then four of each color. And then they boom, just slap it on the names.
But I agree with you. I really like this challenge. I love that TJ only names the challenges that like a casual like myself. I'm not a casual, but you know what I mean? That somebody could name off the top of their head. Like he says, like we've had invasions. We've had one. Like Infernos, yeah. Battle of the X's. Like he names like the first three that would maybe be top of mind to just like an average Joe.
Right. And of course, I mean, there's no one enjoys people getting hurt in hysterical ways more than TJ. And we got to see that full frontal here with Camilla smacking into the pole every 10 seconds and TJ basically rolling on the floor laughing.
I was cracking up when I watched this, and when they cut to TJ, I was like, oh my God, it's like we're laughing together. It was a really beautiful moment.
It was like we're watching the same episode together. It was a bonding moment for all of us.
Speaking of Camilla, Eric Williams wants to know, could you guys discuss the evolution of Camilla? I used to enjoy her as a character, but feel like she's become insufferable. When did she make the leap from somewhat sympathetic character to fingernails on the chalkboard?
I think it all shifted with the invasion. When she got labeled champion and then she went on like the pros champion season. And now like in her head, she's like, oh, I'm this great champion, this like top competitor that like everyone should bow down to me. And now she like can't get that out of her head that she's like better than everyone else. And I think starting from the last couple seasons, it's been gradually growing and growing and growing. And so now like she thinks she's like superior to everyone.
I would say it definitely I agree that definitely didn't help. But I would say right around the second season we podcasted, whatever that was. I'm like bananas here, CD, where I just can't remember the seasons I was a part of in my own way. I feel like we almost immediately were talking about Camilla needing to take a year off. And then when she retired and came back, you know, I feel like we were both pretty disappointed. So I feel like it's been kind of growing that she's just it's tired and she doesn't have any actual drama in the last few seasons. She hasn't had real drama. She's just had these explosive reactions to nothing. And I brought this question up here because I thought it was hilarious and she was getting wrecked by the pole, but she was so annoying, screaming at everyone, wait till I say go. Like nobody else was saying go, Camilla.
Yeah. I think for what to comment off that is that I think when we asking Camilla to take a break, I think it was that just like her act was tired, but I think this is a different like tiredness that we're seeing from Camilla. This time she's becoming unlikable as opposed to just like, all right, this is the same Camilla we've seen. I think that the unlikableness for her is growing, and that is why I think now she needs to break as opposed to like, oh, it's just the same wacky Camilla that just flips off after nowhere. Now she's like not, at least for me and a lot of people that I talk to, like they don't even like her that much anymore.
Well, that's going to be interesting because she's definitely not going to improve in likability as we saw in the preview this week. So more on that later. I will say this made me feel a lot better because if CT and Bananas can't rank the seasons correctly, then I don't feel as bad. Although we have some listeners who could do this challenge in their sleep. I felt good that I'm among the greats with CT and Bananas.
Yeah. I don't think, as you mentioned, I don't think I can rank the seasons that we podcasted in order together. I don't think I can name them like right now. I feel like I would miss a couple of them. That like I fully don't blame anyone for not being able to name all the seasons that they were on.
Were you impressed, though, that like Nicole was really good at this and was correcting bananas in these orders?
Yeah, I mean, good for her. I guess following Nani, maybe she was like really dove into the challenge world with that, and then she was able to know it, but good for her.
Yeah, I was impressed by that. Lori Delgado, though, says things we weren't impressed by, although I won't knock bananas for not knowing this. Like you said, neither of us could do it and whatever. How sad is it that Johnny couldn't get it and has been on 50% of the seasons?
It is crazy when you think about the fact that he's a bit on. Like, what do you say? Sorry, but season 13? Is that what he said?
Yeah, that was crazy when he was saying like the duel was his first challenge in season 13.
That's unbelievable that he started on season 13 and season 30 and he's still chugging along with no end in sight.
I love this. I'm going to let Jemmy answer this question. She tweeted at bananas can at MTV bananas can't even fill out his own resume. It is like saying you don't remember the last 15 places you worked.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fair. I mean, this is it. I need bullet points for every season.
So somehow, despite the slamming, Camilla's team won. Veronica's team came in second, Anissa's team third and safe. So that leaves us with Kayla, Corey, Bananas, Hunter, Tori, Derek, Jenna, and Jordan going into the Presidio. Pretty strong pack here up for the double cross.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, we're kind of getting rid of some of the weaker crew. So we're being left with a lot of the strong players left. And we already started with a very strong selection of guys and now cutting out some of the female crop. You're going to have a couple of top players in each of the packs either they'd be voted in or the Presidio. There's not many places to hide.
So what do you think of the ankle roll heard around the world this week?
So, I mean, I think it was partially real. And then in classic Anissa fashion, she just like played it up for attention. So, I mean, I think she probably did like twist her ankle a little bit and then she just acted like it got chopped off. So that's kind of where I
is that classic Anissa though? Like, I don't even think she made that much of it. Like, I feel like she was like, I'm good, I'm fine. She played through it. She had been injured on the bus before the challenge, got her ankle wrapped. We heard nothing about it. You know, like, I don't think of Anissa as a baby in these seasons.
Not even as a baby, just as someone who just wants to have the attention on her in any way, whether it's getting involved in a fight that's not her. Now it's just like screaming and cackling for an ankle injury that may or not be as bad as that as she's making it out to be. That's kind of more, not that she would like fake, I don't think she faked the injury. I think she just exploited it for additional attention.
That's fair. I think you're in the majority of the opinions there, but I don't even feel like she really milked it. Like, I feel like she limped a little bit. She felt pain. She had it wrapped. And then like during the elimination, she wasn't like saying, she was like, oh, this is the worst challenge I could get for a sprained ankle, which is true. And then, you know, she left. Like, she was like, I'd rather lose to Kayla than anyone else. Like, she wasn't like, oh, if my ankle wasn't hurt, I would have won this challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's fair. Maybe it was more the other people playing it up, or I don't know. It is interesting when you get that type of comment from her about that. Well, yeah, that's a good point.
I'm sympathetic, not only because I like Anissa, but I have also hurt my ankle getting off a bus. So I will say that this is not bullshit.
Oh,
I had to be in a boot for like a week because of just like misstepping off a bus.
At least it was only a week. Could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, I mean, I just decided not to wear it. But anyway, that's not neither here nor there. Anissa, so Ashley Bedazowitz had asked, do we think Anissa's injury was legit? Anissa tweeted, maybe I should bring x-rays with me the next time we all see each other. That's if you guys can actually read one. Burn.
It's a weird burn. Like, who just knows how to read x-rays?
Well, like, you know, doctors.
Yeah, but like, okay, so we're all not doctors. Burn.
Look, I'm not calling her. I think somebody milking an injury would have done more to make excuses than we saw. All right. Moving on to the deliberation. Jillian Nicole says, how annoying is Kara's sense of entitlement?
Yeah. It's kind of another one with like with Camilla that ever since she's had success and now she just thinks she's better than everyone. That's just the way it is.
Kara hates bananas, but Kara this season is acting like a female bananas. Like, except for the fact that I feel like the people she's throwing in are not smart plays at all. Like, she's just making these controlled moves, but they're not the right moves. Like, the fact that she wants to protect the strongest people in the end. I get the idea that they're not sure how the final is going to work out, that they don't know if they're going to be saddled with someone. But, like, Anissa, Nicole, and Veronica as her vote to put in when the field of women up to go in against them is really strong. I don't know why Kara wouldn't take a little bit more of a shot here.
The only thing to back Kara is if she creates this like mantra in the house of protecting the strong, only keeping there who deserve it and going after the weak, like at least that helps her when she's up to be voted in, that if there's that feeling in the house of like keeping the strong, then maybe it'll come back around and help Kara. I don't know if people will actually abide by that, but at least that's like a mindset she could be having.
Yeah, but she's already participated in voting against Kayla and Jenna once, even though she didn't really want to do it. Like, they're not going to have her back. And I feel like you're better off forming actual relationships and alliances with people. That's what Bananas does well. And then when you say, oh, I want to keep stronger people in the house, they're your alliance. I feel like Kara is making these moves just assuming we're all going to keep strong people in the house, but she's not laying the social foundation with the other strong women.
No, I 100% agree with you. I'm just trying to think of some rationale for Kara, but 100%. I mean, who in the house, other than like CT, who has Kara's back? Who's like her ride or die?
It's unclear. We haven't really seen from like Corey drew a clear line in the sand for the men, but we haven't really seen such a clear line from the women. I will say Anissa was at least a semi okay pick in my eyes to go in, because when Kara says her politics are all over the place, I actually do agree with that, where she tries to play a lot of sides. And like, I thought it was weird that she was on a team this week of all, like, it was, where was it? Nelson, Brittany, Corey, and Anissa. Like, that to me is strange that Anissa would leave herself open to being on a team with those three.
Yeah, that's, maybe she tried to join another team and got like kind of cornered out of it. That was not the best setup for her to be in, for sure.
But so when it comes down to the actual vote, and we'll start with the women just because we were talking about the women, what do you think of CT's little foot in mouth moment here, a broken ankle in mouth moment?
It's just brutal. Just like basically saying, Anissa, you suck, so just go into elimination. Like, I did not expect that coming from CT, especially with just like all the history that Anissa and Ashley are doing so many of these shows together, just like absolutely ruthless cut into her.
What was so crazy about it to me is it wasn't even like I make my decision based on who I'd pick last, and because of your ankle, it would be you. It's I would pick you last, and your ankle doesn't help. Yeah. Without the ankle, I'd still vote you in. And then TJ's like, she says she's good to go, and just CT ice cold, good luck, like killed me, absolutely killed me.
I don't understand is what is with the people this season just doing like the voting this season, like that, not necessarily the voting, just the rationale and just like being so forthcoming has been very bizarre. Like, just feel like I'm voting for Anissa because that's the way the house is going, and just like try to like move on. Everyone else, like everyone's just getting so honest.
Yeah, they must be pressing them to be honest, because it was even included with TJ being like, tell me who you're voting for and why. And TJ really cares about it. I'm sure production wants more, you know, more sound bites than what they normally give. But TJ here gives more respect to Anissa than anyone else on the cast would. Like, TJ's like reminding them that she has a good record in eliminations. Like, you know, I feel like he was giving her a lot of respect that the castmates weren't. I'm not saying she deserved it or not from the castmates. I just love the TJ enthusiasm for Anissa here.
Well, maybe when he saw the logos pop up past season, he was remembering, oh, remember Anissa won all those eliminations 12 years ago? Maybe that'll happen again now.
I agree, though, that these people put their foot in their mouths when they're voting. And here, like, they could give a description, like, that's the way the house is going, or even more of a description without doing what they do. Like, Kara, when she votes for the men here, it's another unanimous vote for Corey. Kara says, I've said two names, Corey and Jordan. Why remind Jordan here that you've said his name?
Another one. So bizarre.
Then you should just say, okay, Corey, I got to vote Corey because I've already said his name. End of story. That's good enough for the producers. That's enough. Then he says, she goes, I've already said your name, and like, you're coming after CT and CT's, but why state your allegiance? Like, I don't understand why you would give three strikes right here. Like, don't remind Jordan. You've already given a good answer for Corey, and you're identifying your loyalties in the house. Makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, people, keep the cards close to your vest. Like, I mean, I'm trying to, like, think of, like, Bananas. Like, has he done it? I don't remember him actually voting at all this season. Like, maybe he's always just the last.
Like, that's something he would never do. Like, we talk about him with how he positioned himself to be with Hunter. But, like, that's another, like, just basic thing is, like, just don't reveal everything you're thinking in the moment to the entire group.
And it's definitely harder when you're in a smaller group of, like, four people voting. I think Bananas has been in a winning team, but it's been, like, a big vote, if I'm not mistaken. If he has, it's been, like, seven people, you know, one of those. Mm-hmm. Where you could just say a name and move on. Here, like, where you're four people, there's a few places to hide. However, Kara, you had the perfect answer, and you just blew it wide open.
Yeah, and then what was even kind of weirder for the guys, I mean, I guess it was, I kind of forgot even, it's hard to keep track of who's, like, available, voted in, who's going into the Presidio and all that stuff, so it was just weird that we didn't get any talk of who was going in until it was, like, just knowing that Corey was unanimously being voted in.
I think when you have Leroy and CT and Kara and Camilla as the four, there was no conversation. You know, like, they couldn't even bring up another name.
Yeah, I guess so. I was surprised it wasn't like, was there any, like, is he anyone else's opinion? Because I'm sure someone would have given it if they would have asked, because these people are stupid and just gave it and they thought their pops in their head.
Jeremy Martin says, why does it seem like Bananas has more friends than ever? Were you surprised to see Camilla and Kara, both who have had sort of a tumultuous past with Bananas, just vote based on his allegiances this week?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if it's kind of like what you said about just if maybe they this time they were smarter, that they knew Corey was going to go in, so they wouldn't try to rock the boat and try to do something a little rogue. So maybe they had that mindset.
Yeah, it was a strange thing for me, but I can see why they would maybe do that to call the house. I think also in these deliberations, they've given the guys what they want in the guys' vote and given the girls what they want in the girls' vote. So maybe they also went along with that.
It is interesting the way they're doing the voting this year, how much power TJ, aka the producers, have in the fact that who they start with. Like, that really kind of sets the tone of if there's not really consensus, once a name gets floated out there, they may just, like, follow suit and go with it.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Sorry. I'm like, I just had a major brain fart.
It's okay. That's just up to the elimination before things go even more haywire and a rare, like, another bug comes attacking you or something.
Don't even will that to happen. Oh my God. It's like The Secret with Oprah. Don't put that into the universe.
So the elimination of dead weight. Well, first we'll do the double cross, right? So this was for the women's was first, and this was all setting up for Nicole being, if she doesn't pull a double cross, she's going in. And it worked. She pulled a double cross and she did not go in.
See, the power of The Secret. Sometimes the universe has your back.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy that the way they set it up, it was like one way was setting up perfectly with the way they set up the Bananas and Hunter. That worked out. And here it kind of was the opposite. They were setting up Nicole to go in, and it turns out she pulled the double cross in Sarat. So I think MTV is getting a little better as the season's gone on. It's not tipping their hand too much as to what exactly is going to go down.
One thing that I wish MTV could tip their hand and let me know what this means. Mike Christensen says, have you ever experienced a moment better than your first love makeup?
I mean, I could say I've never really had a love makeup. So every moment I've had is better than a makeup.
I didn't know where the hell she was going with this. I still don't understand. Thank you to MTV for including this because it was just classic nonsense.
Typical Nicole, though. I mean, she jumping from challenge to deliberation to elimination, she looks so different in every single one. So this is her.
Were you surprised to see that Nicole chose Kayla?
So her options were what? So her options were either Kayla, Jenna, or who was the fourth?
Tori.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really like not a good situation for her to be in at all, because probably all three of them are going to win, and then they're just going to target right back at her. So I think,
but the are movie, they? Like, who cares about Nicole? Even Kayla in the end was like, I have a bigger target, but yeah, sure, I'm also worried about Kayla. Like, I mean, Nicole. Like, Nicole's in a situation where all these people are saying, oh, I'm going to target the, you know, I'm out for revenge on X person. Like, Britney with Veronica is what comes to mind. Like, when push comes to shove, are you really going to go after this person? Yes, you have an excuse to vote them in, but you're not worried about Nicole if you're Kayla.
No, and then, yeah, I agree. And that's where I think I was going is the fact that if you're voting in someone like Kayla, she already has built up such a laundry list of enemies, especially already being tossed in, having people go after her and Jenna, that, yeah, for Nicole, she's very low on the list of retaliation. I mean, if push came to shove and it was very few options, then maybe Nicole would just be tossed in by process of elimination. But I feel like that would probably happen anyway, even if she didn't have the target of tossing in Kayla here. So, I mean, I think whoever she was going to toss in was probably going to win. And so you might as well just toss in the person that's probably the most hated in the house, that has the most enemies.
Also, the reality is, like, Nicole's always going to be a goat here. Like, she's going to get thrown in as the layup. Like, Nicole actually handled the rationale for choosing Kayla the best by just saying it's nothing personal and not answering the question. But, like, she also could have said, like, let's not pretend all three of you wouldn't have picked me if you pulled the double cross.
Yeah, no, exactly. She could have said that. I am glad that she did keep some cards close to her best. A non-answer is sometimes a very good answer.
So what do you make of the men's side?
So for the men, I mean, the way this kind of just went down is that I was just thinking back to how much has changed going back to when we actually did start podcasting with free agents. And this is when they had the similar type thing. And we had Jordan flipping over every single card just to make sure he goes against Bananas. And now he's like his ride or die, and he pulls a double cross and he so easily doesn't vote him in. So little circle of life right there. But it was easy vote for him to go after Hunter.
I had in all caps, the old Jordan would have chosen Bananas. But I think it's fine at this stage. I just think I'm really giving up on Jordan. You know, we thought maybe Jordan's back, maybe he's the prince that was promised, but he certainly is not, I would say, in terms of being the future of the challenge or the main rival potential to Bananas.
Yeah, I mean, the hope that he would be like a West 2.0, that ship is definitely stealth. He's in the Banana circle of trust now.
Yeah, so what did you think of this elimination challenge?
I think it was good. I think it plays to like what the challenge is about, with like some type of strategy, but also a lot of strength and keeping your composure. I was in on it.
Yeah, I liked it too. I did think it was like comically ridiculous for Anissa, like to have any sort of level ankle injury, whether it's like severe or not, to then get hit with ankle straps, you know, your whole challenge riding on your use of your ankles was, you know, irony at best.
Yeah, maybe it was a solid troll job for MTV right there.
But yeah, Kayla wins pretty easily, injury or not. I don't think that was really a surprise for this challenge.
No, I think if Anissa won, we would have been all pretty shocked. So, and Kayla's the top competitor at this point, so her winning is very expected.
Andra Feldman says, when will the editor stop spoiling these cliffhangers with the preview for the next episode? Maybe I'm probably dumb. I didn't watch the preview that closely, so I'm not spoiled, just FYI. It looked like the elimination was going to last about 3.5 seconds. Why not just include it?
Yeah, I mean, so I will say, like, they did completely spoil it in the preview. I'm not surprised you didn't notice.
I'm an idiot. I don't care.
it's just the fact that MTV, like, even in the previews, they are usually pretty good as the not putting in either competitor who's in like an elimination if they're teasing it. This time they showed the entire cast like getting ready for the next challenge, like just the full like panoramic view of everyone, and just either Hunter or Corey was just like front and center right in the group, and it was like, okay, well, I guess they win.
Wow. But so what do you think? I think at this point I'm okay with the half elimination. If that's the only chance we get at getting an almost complete episode, it's never been like I'm that dying to see the results. It takes 2 seconds at the top of the show. I will compromise with MTV and accept this as fine.
I'm okay for now, but when it gets like further and further and we have like a lot more meaning behind these eliminations, or if we have like a big battle that we wanted to see and then they tease it, that'll be annoying. But like to tease Hunter versus Corey, I'm not going to lose any sleep of it. I just don't understand why they do. Because we always see, like, for this episode also, when you start an episode with elimination, it just loses all of its like muster of everything that built up leading up to it, that it just feels so out of place. But they're better off just putting it up like on like when you did those web series, just put it up online and just have them watch it there. So at least it's just in sync with the timing of the episode.
Yeah, I was going to preview this matchup, but since MTV spoiled it. I'm not going to ask you about it, but all I'll say is Andrew Styles, not all I'll say, but Andrew Styles said, does anyone remember when Corey lost to Nate and Christina in an elimination? Don't like his chances here. Corey's legs has, he's talked about as being like his weakest, strength. I don't know, his weakest part of his body. And like, as Banana said, like Corey talks the talk, looks the part, but can't really back it up. That said, I think with all this drum rolling, it's probably going to be Corey to take it out. We haven't really seen much from Hunter, and I wouldn't be sad to see either of them go, to be honest. So that is my unspoiled and uncommitted take.
There you go. And then we'll have them both going to the Redemption House to meet up with Lonely Marie.
Unless maybe MTV didn't spoil it and they actually do the Redemption House tomorrow, and then the person who actually was eliminated is back.
Hey, if they
tomorrow,
waste,
next week.
If they waste Redemption House for the trivia challenge, I'll be super, super pissed.
So yeah, trivia is obviously one of your favorite weeks. One of mine too. PJ Gawhan says, who's the odds on favorite to mess up the easiest question next week in trivia?
I mean, wouldn't the odds on favorite be our girl, Jenna?
I don't know. Never forget that Bananas doesn't know what language is spoken in Australia.
That is very true. That is very true. Who else could be up there?
I think CT's up there in contention.
Yeah. I feel like Camille is also known for a big snap-poo.
I think that was a snap-poo on your end. What is a snap-poo?
It's a snap-poo?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a snap-poo.
All right, so we're putting Brian in for contention of messing up the easiest question.
I always said I would do horribly wrong also, but I'm also not competing, so that's why I can make fun of everyone else doing it, because I get to hear and watch and not actually do it.
Very true. I think one thing I'm excited for is, like, we have a good bunch. We have, like, all of the favorites left for trivia here. We have Tony, we have Bananas, we have Jenna, we have CT, we have Camilla. Like, everyone's going to mess this up, and it's just going to be great.
I mean, there's still 45 people left, so there's still so many options, so many scenarios for people to do something stupid, so have that going too.
A couple more, some more Twitter stuff to get to. Do you have anything else, any other things from the episode before we get into Twitter?
Give me more Twitter.
All right. So thanks again to Megan Elizabeth for helping me out with this. So interesting exchange between Chuck from Ari the One, Brittany's ex from Ari the One. He wrote, apparently, according to Megan, Brittany got sick and had to go to the emergency room. And Chuck tweeted, when you see karma come back at your ex, hashtag it's a or laugh cry emoji, hashtag it's a beautiful thing, hashtag what goes around comes around. Wow. Like, that is cold blooded. She went to the hospital and you're tweeting that? Anyway, Brittany wrote, P.S. have fun with your 9 likes, laugh emoji, peace sign. So now at the time that Megan sent this to us, it had 23 likes, but still pretty pitiful and pretty funny response from Brittany.
Yeah, I'm not big on, like, when people comment back on based off followers or likes. That's like a low-hanging fruit response.
More low-hanging than I'm so happy you went to the hospital?
Well, that's just cold-blooded, but like, she could have had a much better response than just, like, counting likes.
See, what do you respond? Like, wow, you're a dick? Like, I like that she wrote this because she's become more famous than him from the same event, like, the same show.
Yeah, I think, like, the better response is, like, oh, I guess you're still watching me on TV or something like that. Like, just go that route as opposed to, like, oh, look at your likes.
Well, I mean, she didn't get sick on TV, but fair point well taken. I liked it. What I don't like is this ridiculous fight now between Kayla and Brittany that appeared on Twitter, which is, like, this fight, and I'll read it, is basically about who fought with whom on the show. So Brittany wrote, hey, I called her out, referring to Kayla, subtweeting, no tag. Hey, I called her out on the show, and I never seen a barking chihuahua shut up so fast, laugh cry emoji. Kayla writes, when, 4 laugh cry emojis, I gave the self-proclaimed pop-off queen many chances to pop off on me. Never happened, laugh cry emoji, bye. Brittany said, LMAO. I confronted you at least twice because you kept saying slick, in quotes, remarks. And both times you shut up so fast and the other childish shit. Kayla said, I don't know what drugs you're on. Many times I called you out and you put on a sweet voice and walked away. Never once did you pop off, LOL. One thing that's clear, despite all the LOLs, LMAOs, and laugh cry emojis, neither of these women are laughing in this conversation, and I'm certainly not. Brittany then says, once again, if I fed into all your petty drama, I'd look as old as you do. And you're how much younger than me? Chin scratch emoji, chin scratch emoji. Kayla doesn't look old.
Yeah, that was a weird response also. Brittany's got to work on her clapbacks.
This is low-hanging fruit. So I'm willing to put the likes in low-hanging fruit category because it seems like this is all she could do. So I'm back on your side with that. And she's now just changing her whole argument because she's saying that she popped off on her. And then Brittany ends with like, well, I didn't pop off because if I fed into all your drama, then I'd look old like you. So no cohesion here. No consistency.
Yeah. That's a weird argument by Brittany.
Then, because Brittany's out in full force, she tweets, man, y'all effing crazy. Laugh cry emoji, frog emoji, tea emoji. Then this fan, Jada, writes, girl, Tori tweeting now on Kayla's side. Brittany won't have that. She writes, well, she's a follower. That girl blocked me, so I guess she's actually not following you. But she was then, that girl blocked me as soon as we got back from the show. Laugh cry emoji. Girl's faker than a boob job. Okay.
Is he saying that Tori has a boob job or just boob jobs in general?
Unclear. So then Veronica, in my what I will call my yes tweet of the night, writes, by the way, I have permanent scars on my neck that look like hickeys from this challenge right here. And Bananas writes back, you mean the challenge that took place in Adonisa's bunk bed? And she writes, you would be a dick and participate in spreading bullshit at the expense of a woman. And I was just like, yes.
That's very typical Bananas response, and good for Veronica. That's how you clap back, Brittany. Learn.
Yeah, I loved it. That was just like, boom. But then some fan wrote, like, why is it a feminist thing? Like, blah, blah, blah. Why are you making about it women? And Veronica wrote, it's a feminist thing because men are not slut shamed in our society. Scene wouldn't have been overused to attract viewers ratings if it was two men. I don't necessarily agree that it wouldn't have been used, but I liked the clapback.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is the end. Oh, I'm sorry. How could I have forgotten the VMAs?
Yes. No one thinks as classy like fighting on a red carpet.
Yeah, I this was crazy. Some people tweeted at us. Did you watch the video footage of Corey recording this?
No, I did not.
All right. So somebody tweeted that to us, and it's basically like a black screen of Tori just like live streaming from the VMA's red carpet. I couldn't make out a single word, but Megan Elizabeth found this link to us. So thank you to the Ashley and Ashley's Reality Roundup for writing this article. So basically, Cara Maria confronted Kayla on the red carpet at the VMAs. The entire cast of the challenge was out at the VMAs this last weekend. And it's really unclear what happened. So they have like a transcript, which is basically just like Cara saying, Kayla, don't go away because I will actually say shit to your face, Kayla. Kayla said, really? I'm not doing this right now. Have a good night. Cara said, come here. Kayla said, WTF, are you doing this here? There's a time and place for this, and this is not it. Like, for real. And basically, Kayla is complaining that Cara had 2 hours to come to her face. And say things to her face, and they were all chilling for 2 hours. I tend to side with Kayla here, and Cara said nothing to her until they were on the red carpet. So it's like all of these older contestants are very thirsty for attention. I think that's what materialized here. If anybody has any more information on this, please let me know. I can't find it, so happy to be corrected, as always.
Unbelievable move by Cara to confront someone on the red carpet. That's a weird move.
Oh, that was the best reaction.
It's just a weird move.
I agree
Not
with
Cara,
you.
Though.
I agree with you. It's all it's like, you know, what we said about Camilla a couple years ago. If not the Camilla now, Cara is the one who's like trying to manufacture drama when she doesn't really have any.
I mean, I don't even know what the fight was about, but even if Kayla's in complete wrong, like, you just don't do it then. So.
It seems pretty fake because if what Kayla's saying is true and Cara at this hour has yet to comment that I've seen, then Kayla like was with her for 2 hours. So if you have a problem, you were just fake to her face for 2 hours and then you hit the red carpet and that's got to be for attention.
Yep.
So that's all I have. I have some plugs this week.
Ooh, lay it on us.
So I just did earlier this week, I did a blog with Matt Liguori. I did some, joined him for power rankings on Big Brother. You should check that out at robhasawebsite.com. Matt is doing incredible work to make something interesting and something readable despite this season of Big Brother. So I definitely check out his blogs every week. It was a lot of fun to write instead of talk for a change. And then I will be joining Rob Cesternino and my old podcasting buddy, Brent Walgamott, on Sunday to talk about Big Brother live after the East Coast airing of Big Brother. So if you're a fan of Big Brother and don't hate me too much, you should definitely check that out.
Nice. Definitely put that on the calendar.
Other than that, I think that's it.
All right. You can subscribe here at robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Also leave 5-star reviews, comments, all that fun stuff. Follow me on Twitter at @CullenBryan_. They can follow you
at @LashTweets.
We'll be back next week for episode 8. Until then, have a good one.